Thank you so much, Deb, for sharing those stories from these different groups of how people are growing in their faith. My message today has a twofold purpose: to offer a meditation on another beautiful passage from Scripture, and to invite all of us into a deeper awareness of and commitment to faith formation. So you heard Deb mention how growing in Christ involves our heads and our hearts and our hands. When Paul and Timothy wrote to the Colossian church, they also had head, heart, and hands in mind. Colossians 3 begins, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above." And then it goes on to tell them to put off their old way of life and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And Christ is all and is in all. And then Colossians 3 continues at verse 12, and I'll read verse 12 through 17. Listen for how it speaks to head and heart and hands. So it says, "Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If only we truly could do that, right? To practice all the virtues mentioned in this passage. Well, I'd say we've arrived. But that's not true of me. And I'm guessing it's probably not true for you either. And yet, if you are at church today, you probably came with a desire to hear a word from the Lord, to meet with God's people, maybe even to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ. So perhaps faith formation is something we're all looking for. And maybe at the beginning of a new season, we could all use some encouragement that we're on this journey together to live and grow in faith, together and individually, from the youngest to the oldest. We are a faith family of people who want to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, a generation that seeks God's face. And this passage gives us a good place to begin. It centers on Jesus Christ. The earlier chapters in Colossians stress that faith in Christ is sufficient for salvation. And because Jesus Christ has offered new life, they could leave behind the old habits and practice new habits fitting for people who had committed their lives to Christ. It tells us that Christ is all, and that Christ is in all. Because Christ is everything and Christ is at work in all of us by the Spirit, they could leave those old habits behind and try on these new clothes, these virtues, fitting for people who had committed their lives to Christ. So, the passage begins with virtues, or what we might consider matters of the heart. We're told to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is similar to other lists we read in the letters of Paul, where he describes the fruit of the Spirit, or the mind of Christ, or the character of Christ. If we want to be like Christ, we also need to put up with each other and practice forgiveness, because Christ forgave us. And if compassion and patience and the rest of the things are the ordinary clothes that we wear, next we are told to put over all these virtues, put on love. Love might be like a belt or like a jacket that goes over everything else and pulls the whole outfit together. Love brings it all into perfect unity, it says. And then let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because you are all one body, called to be at peace with one another. In all your relationships, peace, God-given tranquility, should determine every decision. Local pastor Stan Mast says this happens best when we do it together. He points out that in this passage, all the yous are plural, you all. So he writes, we are in this together, since Christ is in all. So although we must put on these attitudes and display this behavior in our personal lives, we need each other to do that well. Following Christ is a personal matter, but never a private matter. So Paul calls on the community to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. He says, in an individualistic age, Paul's insistence on the corporate is a needed reminder. We can't do this alone. We must do it in our life together. And then Paul continues, in all of this, be thankful. An attitude of gratitude should fill your heart and mind. Next, we're told to let the message of Christ live in us as we teach and admonish each other. Well, now we're getting to headier matters, right? We need wisdom to learn and teach the message of Christ. How can we have the mind of Christ or bear the fruit of Christ unless we know Christ? We know who he is, what he said, how he lived. Only when we learn better the message of Christ can we enter into a deeper relationship in which we also become more like Christ in heart and mind. And we need to read the Bible to find that message. Now, during worship planning this week, Laura said, many of my friends have stopped reading the Bible. They've heard the Bible used as a weapon to harm instead of to heal, to shut people out instead of inviting them in. When I read the Bible, I hear God's unfailing love and compassionate admonition, God's invitation to seek his face and his gracious plan to save us. But I get it that not everyone is hearing it that way. And that grieves me. And so if you are someone who is not quite ready to open the Bible yourself, but you might be willing to read something about the Bible, I have a couple suggestions. Rachel Held Evans' book from 2018, Inspired, is a good one. Just reading the winsome introduction about how she loved and left and came back to the Bible inspires me to keep wrestling with the Bible too. Eugene Peterson's Eat This book talks about meditating on Scripture as a way of guiding Christian readers to receive the words of the Holy Scripture as food for their souls. How to Read the Bible Through the Jesus Lens by one of my former seminary professors, Michael Williams, might help you to discover how the whole Bible centers on Christ and his gracious work of redemption. Now, we opened our worship with the beginning of Psalm 19, which reminds us that all creation points to and praises The second half of Psalm 19 invites us to read God's Word, the Bible, because it refreshes our souls. It makes us wise. It gives us joy and light for our path. So now, if you might be almost ready to open the Bible again, consider the Jesus Storybook Bible. Many of our children know this book. It's our gift to Neil and families when their first child is baptized. No matter your age, if you have not yet read it, find a copy. It reveals God's never-failing love and great rescue plan. And it says every story whispers his name, the name of Jesus. Plus, the illustrations are delightful. So maybe when you read this or any other version of the Bible, you might discover that it speaks to you in fresh ways. Just last week, I heard someone testify to what has been my experience too. We hear something new in the Bible almost every time we open it. Even the passages we've read many times before. Those ancient words are not really a dead text because the Bible still speaks to us. Our lives are always changing, circumstances, the people around us, and the Spirit of God works in and around us to help us hear what we need for our lives each day, whether challenge or comfort, words to nourish our souls. If this can happen when we read the Bible on our own, as Deb testified, when you get together with other people, your insight deepens even further. We can learn from other wise and spiritually gifted people, whether friends or current authors, or even from the older creeds and confessions. How great it is that not only our youth, but a couple of small groups are studying the Heidelberg Catechism again this year. There are so many wonderful ways to learn together, to let the Word of God dwell among you richly as you all teach one another. Because we do want to know Christ, to grow in our understanding in our heads, and we want to know Christ in our hearts too. While Scripture is foundational to head knowledge, it also helps us experience God's presence in our hearts, and it helps us develop those virtues we heard about earlier. And there are many other faith habits that work in our lives besides reading Scripture. Prayer, meditation, fellowship, celebration, confession, service, singing the songs of our faith, all of these habits draw us into closer communion with Christ and communion with each other. And then when we look at how Jesus Christ showed compassion and kindness and gentleness and so forth, we see that he cared for people's needs through word and deed. And we can become imitators of Christ by practicing kindness and compassion, by forgiving each other, by lovingly serving one another with willing hearts and open hands. For we want to know Christ with our hands as well. As this passage tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Christ. Wow, that's a challenge. In everything we want to say or do, we could ask ourselves if we can do it in the name of Jesus. If we know Jesus, if we follow Jesus, we can try to do everything in the name of Jesus. And this is how we fulfill the greatest commandment, to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, our head, our heart, our hands, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's hard to do on our own. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and that's why we invite you all to join us in the transformational, intergenerational work of faith formation. And we're grateful for all of you who are already involved in that. Before the survey about Neil and Denard denomination came out, There was a survey about Sunday school and catechism. It came from our New Faith Formation Committee. And as a committee, we were so encouraged to read that many students are actually eager to go deeper, to learn more about the Bible and about what God is doing, and to build relationships with each other and their teachers. So we're excited that next Sunday, a new faith formation season begins with all these things that Deb mentioned, adult ed, catechism, Sunday school, children and worship, and so forth. Many other ministries are beginning soon too, or maybe have already begun. And so we hope that you all explore these opportunities to go deeper in your walk with Jesus, to grow in faith, to discover God's word, to pray and enjoy fellowship and serve together with the body of Christ at Neyland. And finally, what we do here together in worship, this also helps our faith to flourish. We listen to God's word. We pray with and for each other. And we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And today we will gather at the Lord's table, too. The sacraments also nourish our faith. The Heidelberg Catechism reminds us that it is through faith alone that we share in Christ in all his benefits. And the Holy Spirit produces that faith in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. The sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. And in the sacraments, God helps us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seals God's promises. So every time we witness a baptism, we remember that God invites the people of the covenant into relationship with our triune God, the Father who loves us, the Son who saved us, the Spirit who continues to lead us to deeper faith. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus gave his body and blood to save us from our sins, and we are nourished for our faith journeys. And so we welcome all who believe in Jesus, including children whose parents discern when they are ready to participate. We invite all to join in communion. The sacraments also help us to set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above where Christ is. More and more, as I read and as I preach, I long to just let the words of Scripture seep into my heart and roll around in my head and find their way to my hands as I live them out. So I invite you to join me in listening again to these words from Colossians 3, which nourish our faith together. And following this reading, our song of response will also be our prayer. Speak, O Lord, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that we may walk by faith as Christ walks with us. Listen to God's word. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father